This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm Martin Strong. Let's get right to the consumer news of the past week. A BC judge on Wednesday approved a multi-million dollar settlement with Apple and iPhone users across Canada. It affects a class action lawsuit launched against Apple because their software updates were slowing down the performance of older phones, and that forced people to upgrade to newer, more expensive phones when they didn't really want to. A lawyer in the case says the $14.4 million settlement covers eligible residents of Canada everywhere except Quebec, so that could mean 9 million people. And depending on how many people submit a claim for the settlement money, class members can expect to receive anywhere from $17 to $150. A judge in BC approved the settlement because the lawsuit was originally filed here back in 2018. Apple finally agreed to a compromise without actually admitting that they did anything wrong. Over in Europe, Apple has been hit by a nearly $2 billion fine from the European Union, who says Apple was unfairly using the fact that so many people have iPhones and pushing its own music streaming service, Apple Music, over the other music streamers like Spotify. The EU's Executive Commission says Apple wouldn't let rival apps like Spotify tell iPhone users that they could actually get a cheaper rate if they accessed the service from outside of an Apple app. It was a big win for all the other music streaming services, and this nearly $2 billion fine came after a very long investigation that all started with a complaint from Spotify. This wasn't too much of a surprise, but interest rates in Canada stayed put this week. Bank of Canada Governor Tiff Macklem says we've come a long way in our fight against high inflation, but it's still too soon to start lowering interest rates. On Wednesday, the central bank announced it was holding rates steady at 5%. Macklem says they believe they need to give the recent higher rates a little more time to do their magic and hopefully keep inflation in check. BC Premier David Eby says the confirmation of the first measles case in the province since 2019 is, quote, terrifying for parents with infant children. Measles can be deadly, especially for children under five. Eby is urging parents to make sure their children are up to date with their shots, saying those who are trafficking misinformation about vaccines are putting infant children at risk. Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry says the BC infection is related to travel and involved a child under the age of 10. At least 16 cases of measles elsewhere in Canada have been reported this year, and it's only March. Last year, the total cases for the entire year was 12. There was an interesting case of corporate espionage this week when a U.S. Justice Department said a former software engineer working at Google has been charged with stealing artificial intelligence technology from Google while secretly working with two companies based in China. Linhua Ding was arrested in Newark, California on four counts of federal trade secret theft in recent weeks. Justice Department leaders in the U.S. have been sounding alarms about how foreign adversaries can harness AI technologies to negatively affect the United States. And at the movie theaters, it's shaping up to be another big weekend for the movie Dune Part 2. What can I say? People just love sandworms. And they showed up big time for the flick's opening weekend last weekend, starring Timothée Chalamet and directed by Canadian Denis Villeneuve. Dune 2 made $81.5 million in ticket sales in North America in its debut last weekend and will probably make almost as much this weekend. It was the first major movie hit of 2024 and one that the movie theaters desperately needed. They have been struggling, the big movie chains. This weekend, Dune 2 will get a little bit of competition from some new releases, including movies like Kung Fu Panda 4, which is surprisingly popular. Coming up, there's some cool stuff going on at Camosun College on the island. All sorts of new technologies being developed, from 3D printing to all sorts of metal work, and really, really cool futuristic stuff. And it's happening right in our own backyard. And if you would like to be part of it, you'll want to listen to our next guest from Camosun College when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong, and there's something very exciting going on at Camosun College. Camosun College is a public college on the island in Saanich with two campuses. The college is also the home of Camosun Innovates. It's the arm of the college that does applied research. They were the first federally funded technology access center in the province. The CTAC, as it's called, works with companies to enhance their productivity, all sorts of cool technology, things like advanced 3D printing and even a water jet cutter that can use water to cut through thick stainless steel. Some of the work that has come out of the center includes the design and manufacturing of the torch that was used in the BC Winter and Summer Games, manufacturing face masks for island health workers, and the sleds for Paralympic athletes. It's really cool stuff. And Richard Gale is the director of Camosun Innovates, and he's with us now. Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing well, Martin. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. So before we get into kind of you describing how this all works and how the students fit in and everything, why don't we just start with you telling me one piece of technology that you guys are working on at Camosun Innovates that's really, really cool.
There are so many things. I think what I'll do is I'll tell you about a project that we recently completed with a company called Envisioning Labs in Vancouver. Right. And they came to us with a design for a measurement device for metal powders. And this device was important to create because when we now have the ability to print in metal. So 3D printing in metal can only be done with very specific calculations of the weights and the capacities of the metal that we're using. There was no product on the market that could accurately weigh the metal within the tolerances necessary so that we could create the most accurate 3D metal printing. And so we spent about 9 months working with Envisioning Labs to refine their design, to create a prototype of this machine, and to then send it back to them so that they could work on producing more of these machines to support metal 3D printing across Canada.
Wow. Like, this is technology that's going to change the world, isn't it?
We think so, yeah. And the beauty of it is that it all starts with individual companies. It all starts with often small and medium-sized enterprises here in the province that have a great idea, but no capacity to build that idea into something that is viable as a product or as an expansion of the industry.
So that's where Camosun College and Camosun Innovates comes in. So the companies are able to use the help from the campus and from the students to kind of do this kind of research. And I guess it's a win-win for both the companies and the students.
No question about it. The important thing to remember is that Camosun College in Victoria, BC, is the largest college in BC right now with over 14,000 students and more than 160 programs. And so we have a really broad population to draw on for the work that we do. And we've been very successful at that. Our student employment or transfer rate is more than 90%. So our students come to Camosun, they learn the trades that they need to learn, and they almost inevitably will move on to either more learning or good, well-paying jobs. And so we consider ourselves to be one of the best colleges in Canada. And at the core of our work is applied learning and applied research. We're striving to make applied research an element of every student's experience at Camosun College.
Wow. So people can go to camosun.ca. It's camosun.ca to find out everything about the college. So what are some of the areas? So maybe there's some people listening, maybe some parents of kids who are really into different types of technologies. What are some of the areas where Camosun is the place to be if you're a young person and you want to learn more about this stuff?
Well, the beauty of Camosun College is that we really do offer a broad spectrum of programs and degree options. You can do everything from fine arts to business to computer science to engineering. We have one of the finest engineering programs, I think, in the country with a 2-year program here at Camosun that bridges to the engineering program at UVic. We have a computer science and information technology program that is growing by leaps and bounds. We have a hard time filling the need in the community for expertise in this area, and we have students breaking down the door for these programs. But we really are a full-service, community-oriented college. If you have an interest and want to build towards either trade certification or expertise in a particular area, or just prepare for moving on to a university education, Camosun College has pretty much anything that you need.
Wow. So I'm sort of hearing that it sounds like it's a good springboard for all sorts of things, for maybe somebody right out of high school.
Definitely right out of high school. We have a lot of students who come to us after having been in the workforce a few years and are looking for upskilling or looking for a change in their direction. We have a large population of students who come to us from outside of the province. We think of ourselves as a local community college, and we certainly do serve the Vancouver Island community for the most part, but we also draw from the mainland quite significantly. In recent years, we've had more and more students coming from the greater Vancouver area.
And I guess you could do a lot worse than Vancouver Island in terms of a place to live and scenery to come from outside of the province, say, or come from the mainland.
It's a beautiful place to live. It's a wonderful place to work. I worked for a while in our province to the east and enjoyed the experience of snow on a regular basis. But I have to say, being in Victoria and getting to play in snow and not having to shovel it is quite a wonderful thing.
We're talking to Richard Gale. He's the director of Camosun Innovates at Camosun College. And camosun.ca is the website, camosun.ca. And it's an institution which is really at the forefront of technology. And if you're a young person or maybe the parent of a young person, it might be something to look at because you mentioned the 3D printing technology. What are some other things that Camosun Innovates is really, really at the forefront of right now?
Well, maybe the best way for me to approach this is first to indicate that the funding that we get from Camosun Innovates, of course, comes mostly from the college, but also from grant-supported activities. We are supported by the BC KDF, the British Columbia Knowledge Development Fund, Canada Foundation for Innovation, Natural Science and Engineering Research Council, and some private funding for projects. And so we really do fit into the innovation infrastructure of the entire nation. Applied research and applied learning are core to what we do at the college. Now, when we think about kind of the activities at Camosun Innovates, the lion's share of our work really supports small and medium-sized enterprises. We work with regional business and industry looking to diversify, to grow, to pivot, to innovate. And we're essentially a research and development center for companies that don't have their own research and development center. We provide applied research practical solutions based on partner needs. And what makes us different from the universities is that universities tend to be focused on direct research, on basic research. They don't really move into the production side. What we do at Camosun Innovates and at Camosun College is we focus only on practical solutions. Companies will come to us with a problem, and we work to solve those problems. And that's the real core of our educational enterprise as well. It's not about abstract concepts and theoretical visioning. It's about trying to understand what you need in terms of skills, capabilities, capacities, and how to best prepare you as a student for the work that you're going to do when you leave the college.
Yeah, I guess the phrase real world experience kind of describes it.
Definitely. Definitely. No question about it. When a student comes to work with us at Camosun Innovates, they will be meeting with business leaders. They will be working on the design of projects. They will be working on prototypes and proof of concepts. And when they leave Camosun, they will have skills that they literally cannot get anywhere else before entering the workplace.
And I guess as an educator, the idea of a curriculum that is always changing and always moving in step with local business and industry, it must be kind of exciting as an educator.
Oh, it's more than exciting. My entire career in academe has been focused on addressing the needs of local business and industry, local cultural organizations, local populations. We exist only to support the growth of the region, the growth of the country. And so the connection that we have here at Camosun College with local industry, with local business. And when I say local, I'm not talking about just Vancouver Island. We have partners that we work with throughout the mainland. We have partners in Alberta. We work a lot in areas throughout Western Canada and up into the territories. So our perspective on community is really quite broad.
Right. And Camosun.ca is the website to go to. And I mean, it's, you know, there's too many options to mention here, but I mean, there's all sorts of programs for all sorts of people. And you mentioned people right out of high school and then people maybe a few years out of high school who want some kind of a change and want to move into a different direction.
Yep, that's right. That's right. We have wonderful programs that transition students straight out of high school into the college, but we also really are expanding our opportunities for micro-credentials, for upskilling, for anyone who really wants to improve their productivity within the workplace.
Right, right. We're talking to Richard Gale, the director of Camosun Innovates. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the success stories that you've had. You mentioned the thing about 3D printing, which just seems so interesting and so at the forefront of what's happening in technology. And so often with education, it seems like the question is, are we really getting people ready for the world out there? And when we come back, I want to hear some more from Richard about some of those success stories and how you can be part of what's going on at Camosun College and Camosun Innovates. As I say, Camosun.ca is the website, Camosun.ca. I'm Martin Strong, and when we come back, we'll have more from Richard Gale from Camosun and some of the success stories that they have had at that college. Some really cool stuff going on, so stick around.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong, and we are talking about Camosun College. Some really exciting stuff going on there. They have a thing called Camosun Innovates at the college. Richard Gale is the director, and he's our guest. And basically, I mean, in a few sentences, describe how Camosun Innovates works, how it works within the college, and how students are involved.
Well, think of it this way. Imagine that you are a small business, a hot sauce company with a killer mm-hmm. product, something that, right. that is literally flying off the shelves. Your product is so successful that your one-room operation just can't handle the demand. And you've got the possibility for building a client base beyond BC across Canada. You have the capital to expand, but you have no idea how to build capacity. If you come to Camosun Innovates, what we do is we help you imagine and design and build a new approach to manufacturing. We help you automate your processes by identifying or building new equipment. We help you capitalize on available federal grants and local resources. And together, we establish an automation line to greatly expand your output. This is an example of one of the projects we're working on right now with a company called Island Chef. Another example, if you're a thriving kiteboarding company with an idea for a new control bar for the kiteboard, your product could be a game changer in the industry, but there are flaws in the materials that you're using and you're trying to make it more stable, less likely to break. You know what you need to know, and you have no facility to test or retest or redesign this product. We work with you, and we build a new composite part that has greater tensile strength. We test and retest and work towards your specifications and outcomes. And then we acquire equipment and technology that you don't have access to so that we can build the prototypes for the equipment that needs to be mass produced. Together, we come up with that game-changing technology. And this is exactly what we did with Ocean Rodeo here in Victoria. So that's the kind of process that Camosun Innovates goes through with local business. And at every step in the way, students are involved in that process. So you may come to us with a credential in engineering, in mechanical engineering or electrical engineering or computer science, and you've spent a couple of years working in the classroom to hone your skills and to be ready to go into industry, but you've never really had your hands on the process that you need to go through as a young technologist in order to develop a product, to test a product, and to bring it from idea to production. We give students that opportunity. We work with students who come to us with killer skills, and we give them immense experience working with clients, dealing with challenges, and solving the problems of local industry.
Wow. I'm guessing you're occasionally really inspired and amazed by what students will come up with, surprisingly.
Well, it's really not a surprise. I mean, we have lots of work with capstone courses in the engineering program where students will have completed their curriculum, completed their classwork, but they have one final course where they get to apply what they're doing to an industry problem. We work with those students, and imagine five brilliant students sitting in a room working with a client who has been working in isolation for the last few years and has gotten to the point where what they really need is they need help thinking about what they want to do and how they want to do it. And here are these five brilliant minds sitting around the table with you, coming up with ideas that you never could have imagined. We train our students to think critically, to think differently, to realize that when you design, you're not designing for an idea, you're designing for manufacturing. We help them build those practical skills in the process of making local business and industry more effective.
Wow. We're talking about Camosun Innovates. It's the research arm of Camosun College. You can find them online, camosun.ca. And it just sounds like a killer program for all sorts of new technology. So if you're someone who is thinking about a career, maybe you're a young person just out of high school or the parent of a young person out of high school, it might be worth going to camosun.ca and seeing what kind of programs they have there. And I'm guessing that the teachers, the educators involved are crucially important. And what's the staff like? I'm guessing that they are very dedicated people.
No question about it. We're immensely fortunate to have some of the finest instructors you would ever want to meet. We make a point of hiring from local industry. We want to make sure that the faculty that are teaching our students are always current, always up to date, always aware of the latest trends and the latest opportunities. And they're constantly improving both their practice and the work that's happening in the classroom. We have a thriving kind of developmental process at the college, helping our faculty who are already experts in their field to continue to interact with industry, to continue to support our students in the most practical and productive way possible.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking to, say, a young person who's thinking of what they're going to do next, or maybe a parent of someone who thinks, well, this might be a good place for that, for their kid or something. So tell me, what kind of student would excel at Camosun College?
I think that, again, one of the beauties of Camosun College is that we can really appeal to any kind of student. But my experience is that the students who have the biggest chance for success, the students who always seem to go on to just create great things in the world, are those who have an innate curiosity, students who may not know exactly what their plan is, what they want to do, but they understand that they are curious about the world. And it's not just a narrow curiosity. They may have an interest in engineering. They may have an interest in computer science. But that interest isn't just focused on that discipline. They also, you know, they may have some kind of a pastime in the arts that they pursue. They may be a gamer. They may be somebody who's been an athlete all their life. And it's that broad experience of the world that we like to cultivate. We help students take what they have done and where they have been and focus it into where they're going.
Right. Camosun.ca is the website for all the information. So in terms of the technology we've talked about that goes on at Camosun Innovates, we've talked about 3D printing and this water jet cutter that cuts through stainless steel. What are some of the areas that you think are really, really exciting and are just the future of civilization and that you're most excited about?
I think for me, we have five areas that we're particularly working in right now that I think are vital, not just to our local region, but also are going to be vital to the Canadian economy going forward. The first and most exciting for me right now is we're doing a lot of work with local companies in the area of automation and mechatronics, trying to move business practices from a manual and kind of step-by-step process into something that can be more mechanized, that can be more efficient, that can be more productive. And that involves, sometimes it involves robotics. Sometimes it involves the industrial Internet of Things. Sometimes it involves quality control mechanisms that are automated. Sometimes it's as simple as new palletizing solutions where we can move product into the shipping lanes more faster. So that automation opportunity, I think, is huge for BC right now. The other area we've been doing a lot of work in is what I call biochemical processes. We work with a lot of breweries and distilleries, and we help them build their product into something new, something different. Sometimes that involves automating their processes, but even more frequently, it means working with our chemists here at the college on how to create a better tasting non-alcoholic beer, or how to improve the shelf life of a local IPA. And those kinds of chemical processes are things that we're constantly working on with our local breweries. The next area would be composites and materials integration. We work with a lot of companies that need a stronger, lighter material than, say, the sheet metal that they've been working with before. And we have a fully outfitted materials integration and composite research lab where we help them maybe create something out of Kevlar that will help them build that lighter, stronger boat hull that they're looking for. Obviously, digital solutions are massive in our industry right now. We do everything from digital twinning, a lot of digital scanning of local facilities. We try to use digital practices for quality control operations. One local company we're working with, Cetacea, is a company that builds museum exhibits of whale skeletons. And we work with them to scan whale skeletons, manipulate them digitally, and work on structural pieces to pose and to hang those skeletons. And then finally, you mentioned 3D printing. There's no question that this is a growing area of the economy. We have a full suite of 3D printers. We have the largest 3D printer on the island right now. And we're constantly using those printers, not just for production runs, for, you know, trying to have an end product, but we really use them, especially in the prototyping process. If there's a piece that we want to build for a partner, and that we know we're going to have to do a particular design that we're going to be making out of aluminum or making out of composites. We'll often start with 3D printing to do those prototypes because it's cheaper, it's faster, and it gives us a sense of scale right from the beginning that we can operate with. The other thing to remember is that 3D printing is changing at such a rapid pace. We're constantly bringing in new machines, trying to work on new processes, doing new programming approaches to the 3D prints that we have. Lots of trial and error, lots of investigation, and lots of working with clients to examine 3D printing as a process that they might want to add to their manufacturing. So they'll work with us for a little while to develop some competency, and then they'll invest in their own 3D printers.
Wow. And it's all happening at Chemosin College. Chemosin Innovates, and you can be a part of it. Just go to chemosin.ca. We've been talking to Richard Gale. And all those different technologies, amazing. And you had me at building a better IPA. So very, very impressive. It's really, really cool. It was great to talk to you. And I think a lot of people would probably be very excited to check out Chemosin College and Chemosin Innovates. Chemosin.ca. Thanks for talking to us, Richard.
Thank you, Martin. Really good working with you. Take care.
Richard Gale, the director of Chemosin Innovates at Chemosin College, and as I've mentioned many times, chemosin.ca is the website. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and car theft is a huge problem, especially here in Canada. I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on with that, and also the story of a very expensive red Ferrari stolen more than 25 years ago that was actually just found. That's when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong, and an interesting story in the news this week about a red Ferrari that was stolen back in 1995. It was recovered by British police, who are still looking for another Ferrari that was also stolen back in 95. Both of those cars belong to Austrian Formula One driver Gerhard Berger. The two Ferraris were taken in Italy during the San Marino Grand Prix in 1995. They're worth around $500,000 each. And it turns out the car that they found was brought to Britain from Japan late last year and was in the process of being sold to an American buyer when it was flagged as a stolen vehicle. Now, that's a very high profile case of cars being stolen and then being sent around the world, but it's a pretty common scenario and it's getting worse, especially in Canada. In fact, a new study figures that a car is stolen in Canada every 5 minutes. Wow. It's pretty amazing. The federal government says it's often gangs that steal the cars and then work with organized crime groups to send them overseas. A lot of photos have shown up online of cars still bearing Canadian license plates in used car lots, like right around the world. And if you've ever been a victim, you know what a gigantic pain in the butt it is to find your car is suddenly gone. Not only is it really inconvenient, it can also be really expensive. Joyce Madero Bakid knows this all too well. Her Jeep was ripped off in Ontario, January 12th. It was found at the end of January in a shipping yard in a container, and it was getting set to be sent overseas. And it had been sitting, after they found it, in an impound police lot in Mississauga, operated by a towing company. That's where they took it. And according to Joyce, her insurance company had to pay $5,000 to the towing company after it was finally released last Friday. It was then towed to a mechanic, and it's now being repaired. So she still doesn't have the car. She's been without a vehicle for 2 months, a vehicle she is still making payments on. And on top of it, her insurance company in Ontario, the Canadian Automobile Association, has told her that the premiums are going to go up about $1,300 a year for her because of the theft. So it can be expensive to have your car stolen. According to the federal government, all of these autos being ripped off means that we, as in Canadian insurance policy holders and taxpayers, have to pay about $1 billion every year. That's why a couple of weeks ago, the feds announced that they would be spending an additional $15 million to try to do something about the problem. That's after an additional $28 million they announced at the end of January. And one of the ways this money is expected to help is with the Canada Border Services Agency. They'll now have more resources to detect and search all those containers that may contain stolen cars before they leave the country. As well, the extra funding will both help local and national police forces infiltrate the organized crime that is often behind all these car thefts. A lot of people in law enforcement see stealing a car as kind of a gateway crime for young people. It's a way that kids can find their way into more serious organized crime. So it would be a good thing to get a handle on. This is Vancouver Consumer. And up next, it looks like measles are back. I thought we got rid of those. I've got that story and all the consumer news of the week when we come back right after this.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.